Luke chapter 21. I want to read you from three of the Gospels, Luke, Mark, and Matthew, about Christmas gifts, acceptable and questionable. Do you remember one year I spoke to you on Christmas leftovers, and this year it's about Christmas presents, acceptable and questionable. And so let's read these scriptures. First, from Luke chapter 21, and I'm just going to read abbreviated portion, and then tie them together. Luke 21, verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich man, that they were casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow cast in more than they all. For all those did of their abundance cast in unto the gift, but she of her want did cast in all the living that she had. And now, Mark chapter 7. Verse 8. Ye leave the commandment of God and hold fast the tradition of men. And he said unto them, full well do you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And he that speaketh evil of father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or his mother, that wherewith thou mightest have been profited by me is korban, that is to say, given to God, ye no longer permit him to do aught for his father or his mother, making void the word of God by your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. Now, Matthew chapter 27. Verse 3. Then Judas, who betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver into the sanctuary and departed. And he went out and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the pieces of silver and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. And the last scripture in chapter 5 of Matthew. Verse 23. If therefore thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gifts before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank thee that in spite of himself, man will remember certain occasions that are meaningful to thee and to those with whom he disassociates himself. We thank thee, Father, for this past Christmas season, when upon their lips have been words about the Son of God who came to save. We thank you for this, our Lord. Our Father, thou dost know how many traditions men have now as well as in the past, and we pray that we shall learn from the traditions in the past. We trust that we are wise enough to know about the traditions of the present and learn what is acceptable and unacceptable in thy sight. We thank you for these scriptures that we have read, words that thy son spoke, the events, tragic events that happened in the life of one who followed him for so long. So this morning, our Father, teach us about presents at Christmas time. Let us understand the value that thou dost place upon them, what thou dost say about them. We pray that thou shalt forgive us our sins, we confess them. Be faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us, as thou hast promised. And thou dost know the hearts of those who are here. Father, thou art he who in the future shall pour out grace and supplication, that spirit, upon the hearts of those who have rejected thee. Pour out that spirit today, and also empower the lips of him who speaks, and bring glory to the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. It is such a strange thing, the turnaround of events that man has somehow drawn out of the Christmas story. This is what I mean. You look at the record in Matthew and in Luke, and you understand about God giving his son, Jesus, to save his people from their sins. And you read about the wise man coming and bringing gifts to that son because he is born king of Israel. But the only place you read in the Bible about the giving of gifts is when two servants of God are murdered and their dead bodies are lying in the street, and heathen men send gifts one to another. Isn't that strange? That at Christmas, God gives to man, and the wise men give to God, and we turn it around and give gifts to one another. I suppose that is natural man. They did get this concept. Christmas is a time of giving. Well, why not let this thought come to your mind? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits unto me? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits unto me? But instead, we think of Christmas as the time of giving, and what shall I give to you? What shall you give to me? Do you see how contradictory that is? Unless, of course, in giving to you and me, it is like unto that in Matthew chapter 25 when the Savior said, "For as much as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." But that is not the way that we give at Christmas time. Nor, as I told you about inviting people into your home, do not invite your friends and those that can repay you. Bring in the halt, the lame, the maimed, the blind. And yet, we see, and we are hospitable, but usually to those we want in our homes, and those of whom Christ speaks, we disregard them. And the concept of Christmas time, God giving and man giving in return to God, why, that disappears. But at least this happens. The world sings songs about God giving his son, and on occasion some desire, because of emotion welling up in their heart, they desire to give something back to God. That can be good, that can be bad. That is why I took time to read you from four passages, because in all of them, we have things that are given to God. And some of those things God accepts, some of them God rejects, and some of them are questionable. God says, go exchange that gift for another, and then bring that to me. And so it is not the way that man would have you to believe, that give to God anything, any way, any time. God says, No. There are only certain things that I will accept, and there are only certain conditions under which I will accept any gift. And so we think of that. We say, I'm not like the world. I'm not like the heathen who celebrate and give gifts one to another. I am one who gives something to God. Well, let me ask you. You give to God. Will God take what you've given him? You say, well, why would he not? Do you understand that the first man born of woman who offered something to God, God refused that gift? Cain brought something to God, and this was a questionable gift. It was one that could be exchanged. And God said, no. He took Abel's gift and Cain's gift. He said, I may take it, but this is what you have to do. Exchange it and bring another gift. So, there are some gifts that God says are exchangeable, and he reasons with those who give him gifts, and he explains to them why he does not want them. So, some gifts are accepted, and some gifts are set aside until certain conditions are met, and some gifts will never be accepted by God. So, if you did give God something this year, did he accept it? Or, and I was talking to children, and I spoke of this, to think of something so contradictory. What if you had gone to a store and you've seen the information desk and the exchange desk, and you looked and you saw the Lord Jesus standing in line at that exchange desk with a gift that you had given him? What would you think? Do you realize that many of the gifts that you have given the Lord, if such a thing were possible, he would take that gift and return it and exchange it for another? Because that is good. If he accepts something that is exchangeable, thank God, that can be corrected. But if he rejects what you offer him out and out, then that is a sorrowful thing. Why would one ever think of giving God something that is so abhorrent to him? And that is what I'm going to tell you about, first of all. I'm going to tell you about some gifts that God will never accept under any condition. The first, and I'll start there, the first is a gift that you have dedicated as sacred to God, but in giving that gift, you deprived father and mother of substance for living. You say, well, isn't God more important than my father and mother? No, God is not more important than your father and mother. You say, why? It says, if one doesn't leave father and mother, that is a different matter. Because the Lord Jesus himself told us in Mark chapter 7, and it's repeated in Matthew chapter 15, about the time that parents are more important than God when it comes to giving gifts. And let me explain this to you. What has happened is that commands at certain times are contrary to one another. God could have done things differently, but instead he gave two commands that are in opposition to one another. It's like this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And yet God says, now every Sabbath day I want these sacrifices offered. Well, what am I going to do? Am I going to keep the Sabbath day, or am I going to desecrate it by working on the Sabbath? God tells you, desecrate the Sabbath and offer these sacrifices. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, but on the eighth day, circumcise your males. Well, what am I going to do? God says, circumcise your males. Do you understand? And so when you have two commandments that are at conflict one with another, God will tell you which one is to supersede the other. Now, the Bible says this, God is to be honored above all others. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. But there is a commandment also that says, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, certainly, that God, who is paramount, should be put before father and mother. And gifts that you give to God should be given to him before given to your father and mother. And I would not think of saying such a thing unless the Lord Jesus had said it. He said, not only is that wrong, but I will never accept such a gift that you give. And so there may have been, because I do not know the minds and the hearts of those who gave these gifts. The Lord Jesus does. But God said, all of these gifts that you so piously gave to me, that deep emotion that welled up in your heart when you said, oh God, I am giving you this gift at great sacrifice. It affects me and it affects my father and mother. God would have told you immediately, had you had a discerning ear, I do not want that gift. Go and give it to your father and your mother. Do you understand? And so there are times when if you honor father or mother more than Christ, you are not worthy of Christ. But then there are times, and people will bring about these emotions, that you give sacrificially to God, and then you involve your father and your mother. And the commandment says, honor thy father and mother. Let me give you another. You are to honor your father and mother. But if you get married, the Bible says, leave father and mother and cleave to your wife. Do you see? There are many commands in Scripture that are at opposition with one another. And God tells you which one is to supersede. And these people failed to interpret which was the greater of the two. That is why whenever I have a chance, I say that when a man is married, he is to leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, because there are many parents who would destroy marriages. And at the same time, there are many poor fathers and mothers who suffer in the name of devotion to God because of their children. And remember this, at no time are you to take what is essential to provide the needs of your father and mother and give it to God. God says, I will never accept it. Do you see how vehemently the Lord Jesus speaks against it? He said, this is your tradition. And for that reason, well-meaning men can look at the Scriptures and misinterpret them, and they think that they are doing God great honor, but they are doing God great honor at the expense of their parents. Now, this may have been a charlatan. I do not know. But they did not know with whom they were dealing, because when they promised this gift to God at the expense of their parents, the priests were going to get that gift. They cared nothing about the parents, those that were hardened, those that devoured widows' houses and for pretense made long prayers. They cared nothing about it. Some others might, but they were locked into traditions, and so what could they do? The traditions of the elders say that this man is making a mistake. His father and mother are in great need, but still the tradition says we have to take this gift. And the other greedy ones would gladly take it, and they cared not what happened to father or mother. But understand that there are things that you give to God. There may have been times when the offering plate went by, or you put money in that box, but it did not go to God. God said, I will have nothing to do with it. And so remember that whenever this money that should have provided for father and mother was given to God as a sacred sacrificial offering, they use the word korban, then God said, I am not accepting it. Keep that in mind. When you give, remember that there are those that are near you that need to be provided for. Now, this is the other side. Man will one way or another try to outsmart God, because at times God's house in which we meet will suffer because of money that men are spending on fathers and mothers and wives and children and self. And they say, why, I heard you preach the message that you are to provide for your own, and if you do not provide for your own, you are worse than an infidel. God can see through all of that. Why is it that you give so little to God? Well, the Bible says, honor your father and mother, and I have to take care of them, and if I do not provide for my household, do you not understand that God sees through that? And you are robbing God. And so at times, you are robbing your parents to give to God, and God says, I do not want that. And at times, you are in abundance giving to yourself, your loved ones, and your parents, and you are denying God what is rightfully His. So there must be a balance. Do you understand that the Bible says that a man providing for his household, it says, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. And so if you provide clothing and shelter and food for your parents, then that is all that is essential. If you provide the same for your family, that is all that is essential. And if there is an outcry that others have more luxury, then you are robbing God when you say, I would like to give to God a worthy offering, but I must provide for them. The Bible says it. Honor father and mother and provide for your own household, or you're worse than an infidel. God knows. There is provision and there is luxury. And so you think whether what you provide at the expense of God is luxury or whether it is true need on the family or on your own parents. And then you decide for yourself. But I bring this out, that here is a present given to God, and God says, I will never have that present. All right, another. Who can help but think of the scandal that has gone on about us of late about finances, about all the people that are begging for money, taking money from any source, any amount? Think of all of that. But at the same time, when money is given, it is the responsibility of those who receive it to know the source of that money. Because God says this in Deuteronomy, the hire of a harlot or the wages of a dog shall not be put into the treasury. They are not acceptable unto God. So it means this, that if a woman has her occupation in life as a prostitute, and then she piously says, I want to give this money to God. God says, I refuse it. And at the same time, if there are sodomites who make their living that way, God says, I refuse it, and he will never accept that money. And think of some who may be in the business of selling drugs, destroying men's lives, and they are wealthy. God says, I refuse such gifts. But there are people who want to come and give. And I think of this. One who was pleading for money and one who came to his rescue was one who ran a racetrack. Now, isn't that interesting? Here is one that is gambling men out for covetousness and the world. And here is one delighted to receive that money. But God says, I will have nothing to do with it. And so many times the world, you see, in their literature and the things that they bring before us, all of these people that are harlots and thieves, because they take this money and they give a little bit to God, somehow they're made to be holy. God says, I want nothing of that filthy lucre. And so think now of the way that you make money. Think of a man who is an extortioner, and then he takes of that money and he gives it to God. God says, I want nothing to do with that. And so there are some presents that we bring to God, and God says, what is the source of that present? And if the source of that present is the hire of a harlot or the wages of a dog or extortion or some occupation that is destroying men's lives, God says, I will not have it. And because of that, when those would give me money, I want to know the source of that money. And I remember this, I tell you honestly, that some years back, an organization sent me money, and I did not know that organization, and I wrote back to them finally something like this, and I said, if you do not tell me who you are, do not send me any more money. Can you imagine any evangelist doing that today? I knew nothing about it. But God says you have to know the source of that money. And I remember once long ago when I was in great need, there were those who asked me to speak, and I did not believe that they were saved people. And yet they gave me money, And so to save embarrassment, I said, I thank you, I will take this money, and I will give it to the Salvation Army, to those that are in need. They never invited me to speak again. But God says we take nothing of the Gentiles. You say, well, I think that's an extreme. Well, you may. Well, what about the other extreme? They do care nothing about the source of the money, but God does. And so you see the occupation, the source of that money, and God looks at it and he says, if it comes from that source, I want nothing to do with it. So let us be above reproach in that respect. Thank God that most of the assemblies with which I am associated have kept this thing in a way that is honoring to God, the giving and receiving of funds. But I'm afraid that all of these things are rotting now, and we will soon be like the world in securing funds. So think on these things. God says, I do not want that kind of money. And yet one says, but think what we can do. And this is the plea. All of the money that comes from whiskey being sold, all of the alcoholic beverages, this is their plea. Think of what we can do for the schools, you see. Think of all the research that can be done. And so you destroy men's lives, and you take the revenues from all of this, and you give it to the schools, and you say, that is the justification. God would see through it. He would say, I want none of this. And so God, instead of wanting more money, God wants less money. He says, all that comes from questionable occupations, I want none of it. And all money that is taken from needy father and mother, I do not want it. And all the money that comes from drugs and alcohol and that destroys men's lives, I do not want it. And so here are men who would say, we are doing things for humanity. We are doing things for God. And God says, I want nothing to do with what you are giving me. Think of that. Now, one other thing. Hypocrisy. When you give, what is the reason that you give? Do you remember Ananias and Sapphira? Here they came, and they gave abundance of money to God. But they did not give as much as they could have given, and they held back part of the price. And Peter saw through it, enlightened of God, and he asked them. And they continued in that hypocritical lie. Yes, this is all the money that we got for the land that we sold. And God said, not only am I going to refuse this gift, but I'm going to strike you dead for this hypocrisy. And so there are some who want to give to God so that they will look as if they are important and as if they are as holy as Barnabas. He was a good man. And he sold and gave to God. And they said, it's so embarrassing if we are not as holy as Barnabas. And so in their hypocrisy they come. And notice for a moment, they're asked the question, did you give so much? And they said, yea, so much. And that was a lie. And so God will never accept the gift of a hypocrite, and judgment will fall as well. All right, I have mentioned that. Let us speak for a while now about questionable gifts. You give something to God, and not as in the case of these things that we've been discussing, does God say, I will never accept that gift. But you offer him a gift, and God looks at it, and God says, maybe. But this is what you have to do. Now think for a moment. Any reasonable person, if you wanted to give them a present and you gave it to them and they said, the color is wrong, it doesn't go with my other clothes, please let me exchange it for another, and you said, take it or leave it, do you understand about the attitude of your heart when you gave it? And so in like manner, here is Abel who brings a gift and gives it to God, and God accepts that gift. And here is Cain, and he comes and gives a gift to God, and God says, Cain, let me talk to you. Do you understand that this is what you'll have to do to make your gift acceptable to me? And Cain says, you may take what I gave you, or you'll get nothing else. And his whole life was destroyed because of that. I want to explain this to you. I've told people so many times, and yet they fail to grasp it. You say, well, why did God reject Cain's gift and accept Abel's gift? And the ready explanation is because Abel offered the blood of the lamb. Well, that's a picture of Christ. But Cain offered the fruit of a cursed earth, and God will not have it. If they had only thought, and here is what you will find out, that the same two words, and I'm not telling you everything now, or you will look it up, but the same two words Cain gave of the fruit of the ground, God demands that you give of the fruit of the ground and bring and set it before his altar as a gift. So you say, well, then it couldn't be because it was the fruit of the ground when God demands that this is to be offered as worship. Why, of course not. It's not that at all. Here is Abel, and he brings the finest of his flock. He brings the fatlings, the fat. He puts his heart into it and selects the choicest that he has. And Cain goes out. You see, he's a tiller of the earth. And he goes and he simply takes anything that he wants to. What is easiest? Or he just takes anything that he wants. Now, it's not completely bad, because if it were, God would never accept it. But he just takes something and he gives it. And he says, here, God, here is something for you. Now, this is what exposes the heart of unregenerate man. That is, that he is religiously inclined. Do you see? Cain is not irreligious. He's giving God something. But when he gives to God, God wants to correct him and say, now, Cain, this is what you should do. And then Cain rebels and says, you will take what I've given you, or you will get nothing else. Then his heart is exposed, you understand. It was not what he gave, because the fruit of the ground is a picture of the resurrection of Christ. Do you not know that? That the first fruits of the ground have to be offered as a picture of Christ risen from the dead. You say, the Lamb is Christ in his death. Well, the fruit of the ground, the first fruits, is a picture of Christ in his resurrection. And so it wasn't that at all. It is simply that he gave an indifferent gift to God, and God said, now, you gave me something, but you must understand that the things that are given me, and I would bring this to your attention later on, I don't have time to develop it now. God says, any gift that you give me has to be perfect. He says, any gift that is given me, it has to be the best of everything that you have. Now, Cain, are you prepared to remedy that? Take what you've given me and use it for some other occasion, but go out and get the very best of all that you've grown. Get the perfect fruit of the ground and bring it to me, and I will accept it. And Cain said, never! So, it means that some gifts are questionable, because God looks at the heart and he says, is it by accident that you just brought me this ordinary fruit of the ground instead of the very best, the perfect fruit of the ground? And then it finds out that it wasn't of accident, it was indifference, and that heart remains indifferent. Do you see? And so for that reason, when we're giving to God, God says, what are you going to give me? Well, I have several things here, which is the best. This is the best. He says, that's what I want. You remember I told you once about the God that liked sugar cane? God looks at everything you have that you can give him. And God says, what are you going to give me? And if you give him anything less than the best, God says, I don't want it. He says, now you have a chance to change it. Notice, this isn't rejected. He says, you have a chance to change it. Will you give me the best? And if you say, no, I'm not going to give you the best, then God says, then you're under a curse. And that's what happened to Cain. Because he would not give God the best, he gave to God indifferently, and God said, no, you must give me the best. And so here we are, we go through life, and we give God indifferent things, and you think that God is delighted because you give him something. But according to the illustrations I've told you, you'll find that God looks at those things, and he says, I want to exchange them for something better. There is more to you, and there is more to me than what you've given. So think now, you who have given to God, is it the best? Is it worthy of God? The difference is this. If you give me a present, inasmuch as I do not want to hurt you, it may be something that I do not want that is outlandish, but I will say, thank you for thinking of me. And I'll justify it by saying, well, there was a thought in the heart. But do you know what God says? He said, do you know that gift you gave me? He said, I don't want it. You take it and offer it to your governor and see if he will accept it. Do you like for God to talk to you that way? That's the way he talks. That's in Malachi. I told you about that some months back. God says, I don't want it. And to find out whether God wants it, think of your governor. Think of a high official and what you're going to give God. Then give to that official. You say, I couldn't give that to the official. Oh, but you can give it to God. And God is aware of those things. And so there are some that are questionable. Notice. And Cain could have exchanged that gift and given something acceptable to God, but he said, I'm not going to change. And in like manner, there are those like Ananias and Sapphira who could have confessed their sin. Did you give so much? Had they broken down and said, no, we did not, then God would have said, then give me the full amount of what you promised and all shall be well. Do you see? But they refused. They wanted to go through with a lie, hypocrisy, and God said, I reject that. All right, I have to tell you about this now. You wonder, well, what is acceptable to God? Is filthy lucre acceptable to God? Why, of course it is. Here is a woman, and she has two mites, and the Lord Jesus is watching as people are putting into the treasury, and some that are rich come and impressively put in ever so much money. And this widow woman, I wonder how Christ could see it. I do remember that he was on the mountain and it was night and he saw them rowing. But she took two mites, which make a farthing, and cast it into the treasury. And the Lord Jesus not only accepted it, but he was impressed. So impressed that he called his disciples and said, do you see this woman? She's given more than they all. So yes, God wants money. Do not think that God is below or above taking money because it consists of things that Christ calls filthy lucre. Money can be called a sacrifice acceptable in the sight of God. But it makes no difference if it's abundance of money. If it's like that abundance, God says, well, I will accept it, but they're not going to get as great a reward as this woman. But God is impressed by two mites. You say, isn't that remarkable? Why, of course it is. The Lord accepts that, and Christ is impressed. Now, let me tell you about Paul. He was impressed as well. By what? Not only by this gift from the Philippians, but also from the churches of Macedonia. He said, out of their deep poverty, they gave beyond their power. And that impressed Paul. And one other thing, and this is perhaps the most difficult to give to God. He said to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him as a burnt offering in the mountain that I shall tell thee of. And Abraham did that. And God was impressed. He said, now I know that you fear me. You haven't withheld your son, your only son. Think now, you who want to give something to God, would you give your children to God? Would you? I find most of them, I'm going to educate my child for this world. I'm going to provide for my child for this world. And many times we destroy the children. And it's hard to give them to God. Finally, Hannah said, oh God, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. Should that not have been her desire from the very first? The thing that was most precious to her, her child. The thing that was most precious to Abraham, his son Isaac. And God said, give them to me. Do you see? God wants the best. He wants the things that are most meaningful to you. And then they gave them. And God said, you may have Isaac back, Abraham. And he said to Hannah, he said, I'm going to make this man an illustrious prophet in Israel. And he did. So anything you give to God that he keeps, understand that your heart is right. And anything that he rejects, remember, your heart is wrong. Let us give God gifts to God that are acceptable, not those that he rejects. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, would you forgive us for deceiving our own selves? Let us tell us in the scripture about self-deception. Let us not think that we are doing you an honor, that we are no longer responsible because we give thee just anything. But let us understand that you are a great king and that you are the one who gave your only begotten son and you are worthy of the very best. Let us never, O Father, experience your returning our gifts, your rejecting our gifts. But what we give to thee, let us think of the gift that thou didst give, and let, as thy gift was worthy, let our gifts in return be worthy. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.